Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Lalita Turaga, and I'm a third-year podiatry student at the Shoal College of Podiatric Medicine. I'm very nervous. This is my first time. I have no disclosures, but I do have an agenda today, and I will talk about it at the end. So in May of 2012, I visited India, and I visited this center, which we have patients suffering from leprosy, which is also called Hansen's disease, and it also houses patients suffering from HIV, kids suffering from HIV, tuberculosis, and most of the kids who are in this institution are orphans, and they have been left in the streets by their family because they have and they are HIV positive. And this institution was started by Rani Kumudini Devi, who was inspired by Mother Teresa's work in Calcutta, India. And she was a very rich woman, and she decided to donate her land and her fortune, helping these patients. And this institution houses 500 people as of now. So Hansen's disease is also called leprosy. It is a chronic infection which is caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and it is a chronic granulomatous disease of the peripheral nerves. And if caught early, this can be prevented and this can be treated 100%. This disease is very debilitating to the patients if it is not caught early enough, and it causes very terrible physical disabilities, and the first manifestations is in the foot, and then it progresses to the hands, and we have a lot of manifestations like claw hands, and then it goes to the cranial nerves, and we have manifestations in the eyes. And so forth. So when I was in the clinic and I was helping these patients, I saw a 32-year-old young male who presents to the clinic with diffuse swelling in his distal one-third aspect of the leg, and he was complaining of weakness in his leg. For him, it was very surprising to me that he was not concerned much about the ulcers. As you can see, there is two fleeting ulcers with clear demarcations. He was not as much concerned about the ulcers. He said that this patient is homeless, and he has a wife and three children, and all of them live off streets. And he said, "I'm here because I cannot do my everyday labor work, and I don't have strength in my feet. So I'm here." And then this is the other manifestation, which he got claw hands too. This is very late in the disease, and this is a small video. This patient has drop foot. So this is the drop foot video which I took. He has, and that's why he came. And as you can see, he has small little bit of claw hands going on up there. So why leprosy? Why APHA? Why am I talking here? I do not have a degree in master's in public health. I'm very new to that subject, but I tried to incorporate as much as I could. So I'm going to talk about Rogers' theory of diffusion of innovation, and how can we apply here in America, and what I applied back in India, and how can we stitch things together here. So innovation is any new practice basically change, and diffusion is communication through proper channels, and dissemination is basically plans and systematic efforts to make the information available to the target audience. So what I have felt like, history has proven that it takes far too long for a proven practice concept to become a part of practice. And if all these proven principles or ideas are not disseminated in an effective way, it takes way too long, or all these proven concepts will not have or reach their potential to make a change in public's health. So these are the core principles which was defined by Rogers, and I'm going to basically focus more on the social networks, relative advantage, and infrastructure in my whatever I learned in India and how I'm going to apply it to the American system here. So in 2002, the rate of Hansen's disease was very high, and then it started going down, and then after 2010, the numbers started increasing. And so what happened was, in India, these were the principles which were adhered to, like social networks, infrastructures, and relative advantage. People suffering, in collaboration with WHO, the Indian government came up with an idea of taking all these patients who have leprosy and making those patients as a community and providing them shelter so that it is not spread from one place to another. So the norms and the groups of people were basically medical students here, and I'll reflect more on that as I talk forward. And infrastructures, in collaboration with WHO, the Indian government had funding, and they started providing free medication to all these patients who suffer from leprosy, because they are all most of them were illiterate and poor people. And most important was opinion leaders. Because of Mother Teresa's work, she alleviated the fear that leprosy spreads through contact, and more physicians and volunteers were ready to help these patients. So what does that have to do with the United States? In my 2.5 years of education, we go a lot to the community and we help homeless people. And according to Public Health Service Act, homeless person is defined as people who live on streets or do not have any permanent situation. So what I felt or what I saw was a lot of these homeless patients, they end up in the ER not because, most of them want shelter, and there have been a lot of studies done, and the references from this journal called The Lancet, which was published in 2001, it states that 81 in one of the hospitals, according to a study by Moy et al., he says that in one of the studies they did, 81% of the patients who were homeless had foot problems, and they were basically because of cellulitis and skin infections due to impetigo and et cetera. So I kind of felt like, as podiatric students, if we could screen these patients early enough in our community service days and make it our duty to follow up with them and educate them, we can reduce all those emergency room costs. And I was reading a paper recently which was titled $1 Million Homeless Patient. So we can somehow contribute to reducing the cost. So what the similarities I found between the Hansen's disease patients and the homelessness here is, like, if all these problems can be preventable if they're diagnosed early, and lack of awareness and healthcare, and most importantly, these patients do not report until it becomes serious. This point I got when I interviewed the patient who was 32-year-old. I asked him, why did you come now? Why didn't you come before when you lost sensation in your feet? And he said that, I'm homeless and I pretty much shower near the pond and the lake. And so for me, it really doesn't matter if I don't have a patch of hair growing in my foot. As far as I'm able to earn my daily living and provide for my wife and the children who are all begging off the streets, I really don't care. So I'm here today because I'm not able to walk, I'm not able to do my labor work. And so that's the kind of similarity I also found here in the homeless population, is they do not show up until it becomes very serious. So what are the lessons from abroad? So like I stated before, Indian government in collaboration with WHO made it a point that they came up with this idea that why not send medical students in India to go to all the rural areas, because the population is so huge. So it was up to the medical students to go to all the rural areas, and they had to report a particular number of cases to get their degree, and they have to report those cases to the health government. So it's up to them to pick up those numbers, and if the numbers are coming down, then the health department goes back into that village and does a screen again, and that's how they could combat this dreadful disease for some time. But then they could not follow along because they thought it's going down, and so the lack of leadership and awareness, so it started going back up. So secondly, what do we learn from there is relative advantage. Homeless people here, they do not, I feel that they fail to understand that foot is their main mode of transportation. And they fail to realize that. And once they realize that, how important it is for them to take care of their feet and go for foot screenings regularly, especially during winter times. I saw a couple of cases of trench foot, and you know how it progresses to dreadful cases and amputation. And then once you realize like how a lack of limb impacts their daily life, they might go for a thorough health screening as provided. But the most important part here is the infrastructure problem is what I felt like. If why can we redefine homelessness here? Like what they did in India is like take all these patients and make them static, or make build communities where they are static and they are not nomadic. And if they're static, they can go for thorough health trainings, and hence we can follow up with them, and they are in better shape. And instead of us providing for them, can they provide for themselves? For example, what I felt was like we went to homeless shelters every time and we would do all these screenings, and then we would never see the patients back again. And it's just the area in which we are always providing for them. So can we do something so that they can provide for themselves? Like in the leprosy center, all these patients are illiterate. They have no education. And the kids in that shelter get bare minimum education, because for them, shelter and food and clothing is of prime importance. So what these people do is they send the kids and they pick up scrape leather from garbage cans and dustbins, and they bring it to the cobbler. And the cobbler makes braces for them. Like, this is all plastic. This is not plastizote or any high-tech stuff as we use here. This is some old slipper. I don't know the American term for this. What do you call it? The floaters, and they cut the parts of it, and they somehow made it work in this way. So here is a student which I had a personal interaction with, and it really touched my heart, because this person was an engineering student at the college. And he somehow contacted leprosy, and he was sent out from the college because he had leprosy, and now he cannot go back home because everybody has disowned him and he's been ostracized from the society. So with whatever education he has until 12th class, he helps these patients and uses common sense and helps them make footwear. So here is a patient who has below knee amputation, bilateral, and all these metal bars they just picked up from railroads. And these patients, what I found out when I was there was they die pretty soon, not because of the below knee amputation, it's because each of these, they weigh 4 kgs. So like 4 kgs is 8 pounds approximately. And so they die of cardiac failure, because the heart has to work like 10 times as hard to pump all that blood to lift these things up. And when I asked like what would they want, they told me like if they could walk, or if they have some kind of prosthesis which is cheaper for them to make somehow, you know. So when I was in my biomechanics capstone, I was just thinking like there are 7 podiatry schools in this country. So if when we are in our biomechanics capstone, instead of making orthotics for ourselves, why not give this as a project to like 4 students and come up with cheap prostheses for these patients and send it abroad? So we can think locally and act globally, like switching the theme of APHA, I guess. But so these are the instruments which was donated by industries. And the patients suffering with leprosy, in India they cannot go out into the real society. They cannot buy food. They cannot do anything. People throw stones at them and they are sent out. And so even for medical needs, they make their own bandages. This is like a thread, and this is what Gandhi used to use to make his own clothing. So they weave their own bandages, and this is like a big piece of cloth, and they cut it and then they reuse it. So why not teach the homeless population here some kind of a skill, like, you know, instead of going to Yankee Candle Company and buying $40 candles, why not teach them how to make candles so that they are self-sustained and they can provide for themselves too, and they don't need to depend on the government or the people or society for donations. And you know, just a thought I had when I saw them. And this is garbage. This is the Indian garbage carrying truck. In America, it's big, huge, but this is a smaller version in which people manually run these rickshaws, and they collect garbage from houses and they dump it in a communal area. And they make these garbages by themselves, and the government of India buys it from them, and so that's how they can provide jobs for themselves, and they're self-sustained in this aspect. So this is one of the economic rehab part, which I felt we could get some inspiration from and use it here. And this is a case how they solved the Dropwood case. There is no podiatrist there. There's no pediatric person. It's just cobbler who's just using his common sense. And this is a small video. He uses a spring and small buckle to see, the drop foot has drastically reduced, and now he can find a job for himself instead of doing manual labor or like begging in the streets because he could not walk. And now they don't have telephones and all, but I send my family who lives there to find out what he's doing. So he's basically an electrician now, so he can walk properly. And more importantly, it's like the public does not know that he has leprosy. So it's just maybe he has a foot problem, and so they still let him into the society and he can still function. So this was one aspect. And this is a woman who was sent out of her house, and this is the manifestation in the hands. From claw hand, it's like self-mutilating and auto-amputation. And she has the skill of making these greeting cards, and they sell it on the streets. And I just took a small video and just to show you guys how she actually does it. So she takes a needle and she pricks on the card and she makes all that. She's the daughter of the lady. She also has leprosy. So she's the only literate kid in the whole institution, and she teaches everybody how to sign. And she has claw hands too. And as you can see, everybody looks kind of the same, is because it's called leonine facies. That is one of the other, like, the moment, what they taught me is, like, when these patients walk in, first thing you see from top to bottom is the foot and then the face, because they have the characteristic leonine facies, because the bacteria goes and sits near the cranial nerve area, and then on the foot, and then it goes to the hand. So this girl they don't have physical therapy doctors or anything, and what they do is just they put some leather straps around the fingers, and then they pull it back to train the muscles. And she wants to become a doctor, but I'm in touch with her, and we'll see what happens. These are just small memories in my story as what I did when I went to India, and how we can learn from them and do something here for the homeless population. So here I use the term holistic because it describes an awareness of and responsiveness to every aspect of life. And sustainability, very important, because it requires that all these activities which we bring into, they have lasting benefits. And social rehab, I feel, is very important, whether it's people suffering from leprosy or homeless people, because once they get a job, once they are on their own, once they have that belief that they have a skill which they can use, it restores dignity and it promotes, you know, empowerment and self-respect. So because most during my interaction in all those community service, I felt like most of them are depressed. Why are you depressed? When I talk to them, it's like, I can't work. I don't have a job, you know? And so why not provide like a static place and help them and teach them new skills like knitting socks for themselves, and they can provide socks for themselves and stitch boots for themselves so that they're not depending on the society for donations. So what next? So like, why am I here? What do I ask? What I ask is like, because we have pioneers of this field, Dr. Simon, Dr. Cooks, and everybody else, I think we should have medical students as the change agents and make medical students go into the society and tell them, hey, you need to go and educate XYZ number of patients and get XYZ number of cases. And when a student goes into the public and sees the actual suffering, the real deal, like how to work with the least amount of resources you have, will make us a better physician, because I personally feel that I have grown a lot. So that is my agenda, is making medical students as the change agents, and not only the physicians, but also medical students. So I feel as a country and as a profession, we possess all the resources to provide quality care and social service to all the homeless people and patients suffering from leprosy, and transition them, you know, from a temporary to a permanent housing. And I think what we require is a communal vision and a political will to achieve this. I know it is very hard, but the society might not be ready to accept it yet, but I think if we have one vision, we can achieve this. So I wanted to thank IPMSA, the Illinois Podiatric Medical Student Association, who helped sponsor the trip to Boston so that we can come and share experiences. Definitely want to thank Dr. Joseph, because I tortured him a lot on the public health aspect, because I'm completely new to this. I literally started telling him that I'm going to stalk you to your home till you help me with this. And Dr. Evans, who's been a motivation, and Dr. Yorath, who's going to help me in the upcoming trip. I'm going back again in December, and I tried to talk him into coming with me, and we are trying to do a lot of surgeries, charity service for these patients, and we'll see how it works out. And last but not the least, I definitely want to thank Dr. Fleischer, because he discovered me in this whole process, and he encouraged me to come here. Otherwise, if it was not for his push, I would not be talking here. And the end.